Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I think there's, you know, I was on a show yesterday and they asked me what the trends in healthcare were going to be or were. And I think there's trends not only in the healthcare service part of our country, but politically speaking, the last few decisions by the Supreme Court, specifically the most recent ones, where I believe that the 10th Amendment is gone. I think the First Amendment is gone. But the TPP ruling or a passage of that in the Congress has opened up an absolute Pandora's box. And I don't know about you, Dave, but it seems to me that it's all about corporate rights all of a sudden. And there's a bill that's floating around in Congress right now that people need to know about. And it's just gone through the House Agricultural Committee, and it was approved. And it sets up it to move towards a vote. And what it basically does is it gives transnational companies, specifically Monsanto, the right to force us, every American, to accept GMOs and to never have the ability to have labeling come on the table for referendum in any state. It takes the Food and Drug Administration out of the play, out of the game too, because they won't be able to mandate any labeling nationwide. And it opens the door for them to put GMOs into natural ingredients. And that's a slippery slope to messing up the organic industry. I mean, this is just beyond the pale. And people are not paying attention to this because we're focusing on, you know, taking off Confederate generals off of the Stone Mountain relief or taking down the Confederate flag, which means nothing in the scheme of things once they poison your food supply. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Have you heard about that? This bill that's passing through?
No, I haven't, as a matter of fact.
Well, the whole TPP, the whole upside or downside of it, is that transnational corporations can literally mandate or actually enter our legal system into our political process and demand that laws that work against their interests have to be repealed, nullified, not followed. And our government, no matter who we are, whatever country signed on to this fiasco, has to acquiesce to the wants and needs of a corporation. It has nothing to do with safety, has nothing to do with the internal constitution or laws of the particular country. This now supersedes everything. I thought the UN was bad, but this is like a million times worse. Can you imagine these corporations deciding, hey, we're going to drop the price of labor down because it costs us too much money to make our product, so you need to lower your standard of living in order to make us happy. I mean, really, it's just sickening, honestly.
The law I've heard of, but I hadn't heard of the parts that you're talking about, no.
Well, it hasn't passed yet. It's been floating around for, I guess, a couple of years, and it's been in committee. There was some congressman, I think it was a Republican, somewhere from the middle of the country. I can't remember what state now. But, of course, I don't know if it was Idaho, Iowa, somewhere in where there's definitely a big agricultural center. And, you know, Monsanto is basically infiltrated the Congress via the congressperson representing those states. There was the Secretary of Agriculture has very close ties to Monsanto, and that's a big problem. So nobody's tested these GMOs. Nobody really, well, it's coming out what they do. First of all, glyphosate, I'm sure you've heard about that, which is the main ingredient in Roundup. That has been shown, and the UN has actually pronounced that it's most likely a carcinogen. So it's a cancer-causing agent. France has, you know, outlawed it in their country. We're the only country that allows the manufacturing, food industry, you know, genetically modified industry to just run roughshod over the health rights of people. And it's becoming a trend. California now is looking at passing a law that mandates vaccines for adults. They've done it for children. Now they're trying to do it for adults. I mean, it's absolutely fascist the way they're coming along, medical fascism, where you don't have control over your own health choices. Somebody's deciding them for you without informed consent, and they're ultimately, potentially deadly. I mean, there's no excuse for this. And I can't believe Well, I can't believe you've given them enough money, apparently. They'll do whatever you want them to do. Or you blackmail them. They're just, you know, grist for the mill, ripe for the picking. We need to stand up at this point and let the Congress critters know that we're not going to handle, we're not going to take this. This affects every single person in our country. It doesn't matter what political persuasion, sex, anything. Everybody's going to be on the hook medically if this thing gets passed.
Is there anything good coming out of Washington?
No, I really can't say that there is anything, except they're being exposed for the, you know, the hypocrites that they are. I think that's the only thing that's coming out that's probably a good thing. I don't think many people, you know, I just realized or read more about this deal with Iran, which is also not in our interest. I mean, people are really coming to the table that whatever's being negotiated for us in the dark can never be something that we should be against it unless we know exactly what's in it. It's just like a trend of you have to pass it to know what's in it. Nancy Pelosi basically set up a firestorm with that one.
It's sickening, and also the we always want to keep people informed about the ICD 10 that's coming up in October.
Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother ball game. I mean, the freedom, individual freedoms are under attack. The ability to take care of your family, to literally be the boss of your own family, male or female, to make your own decisions for what's best for you, are being legislated away from us. And it's now at a point, it's not even our government doing it. It is the transnational, global government doing it. You know, the UN has really become very powerful.
Well, it's sort of like like you mentioned the Iranian agreement with the UN checking it. This is the fox guarding the hen house type thing. It's just incredible, and hopefully somebody in the Senate will be able to stand up and say, we're not ratifying this. We're not going to do this. And
well, I read an article saying that even there are people, like a lot of Democrats, Republicans are against it. There will be Democrats who are against it, yet they'll still pass it. Will you stand for anything? Does anybody stand for anything anymore? It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not a negotiator by trade or by profession, but I can pretty much figure out that if the end goal is to stop somebody from getting something, meaning nuclear weapons in this case, and you just let them get it later while you pay them, you're releasing every sanction you had, giving them as much money as they need to basically do what they want. You're just delaying the inevitable. What's the point of negotiating? I thought the whole point was for them to not ever get nuclear weapons, right? Is that what it was?
That's what it was supposed to be.
Well, that's not what it turned out to be.
No.
They're just delaying it 10 years.
Well, in fact, I don't even think they're delaying it 10 years. I brought this up on another show earlier this week. And the thing, and correct me if you feel differently, please, but the thing that I feel is so important, and nobody's mentioning that, you don't have to have a bomb as we know it, a nuclear bomb that explodes in the middle of the desert and blows dirt everywhere. They will be capable. Right now, I think Iran's at the point they're more interested in launch vehicles than they are in a quote-unquote nuclear bomb. All they have to do is get a launch vehicle, put it on a ship, get it in the Gulf, or get it on the east or west coast, and launch an EMP attack, and we're dead. They don't have to have a sophisticated nuclear weapon or bomb. They can do it with almost a dirty bomb, but a little more sophisticated than that, but certainly not to the extent of a quote-unquote nuclear weapon as we know it, or a nuclear bomb. So I think the real threat is what they're going to do from an EMP standpoint.
That's a good point. You know, I mean, I didn't even think about it in those terms, but basically what we've done is negotiate away our leverage. You know, we've done it. This is not the first time. We seem to keep doing that. I mean, that's the thing that I just don't get. I was pretty young at the time that NAFTA was passed. I didn't really pay attention to it. But that was another example of negotiating away your leverage and negotiating away the labor rights of your country. And I really do appreciate, the Texas business, I've got his name now, Ross Perot. I actually really appreciate what he said about the sound of jobs leaving our country. that's exactly what happened. You know, we've, every country that's risen in the last, you know, 15, 20 years has been on our backs. You know, our labor pool went to cheaper, and I would, I'm going to say it, I'd say in some cases slave labor, in order to ruin our own economy. They lowballed us. Walmart rose on us wanting cheap crap instead of paying for, I don't mind paying for quality. I don't mind paying to support my neighbor or my country, because it ultimately comes back to me. The better our economy is, the more money people have to spend. You know, we spend a lot of time giving our money to corporate interests, like this Monsanto monstrosity, but it goes down the line. Walmart's an example of it. Target's an example of it. All of them are examples of it. You walk in those stores, you don't see anything made in the United States. And unfortunately, we kind of hastened this process ourselves because we wanted cheap stuff. And they played us. You know, we fell right into it. You know, I won't buy an iPhone because I know that it's made, you know, in China. And there are people jumping off of roofs trying to make a product and getting paid nothing, working hundreds of hours a week. I won't support that. We need to start, you know, we talk a lot about being, you know, sustainable and fairness and all sort of stuff while we're picking up iPhones and supporting slave labor elsewhere. And most people don't know that the TPP, for example, our government took out a clause that would have outlawed slavery within the TPP. Because there's countries, I think I spoke about last week, Malaysia, for example, is known for trafficking people. And they would not have been able to get into the TPP union, whatever you want to call this thing, had they not stopped doing that. But we took it out. You know, we just decided to strike it out of the agreement. Now, do we stand for, you know, freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness in our country? What makes it right for us just to make somebody else happy? This is what we do. We completely remove our morals, our ethics, to go along and get along. I don't even think it's to be liked anymore. I honestly don't think that's the case. It's just to lower our standards to fit the global governance infrastructure. You know, we can't be better than everybody else. We can't work harder than everybody else. We can't have the best because, you know, we've got a bunch of countries that are haters and that we have to fit into this system. And we have to lower our standards, and we're doing it across the board. We are doing it in medicine. It's everywhere at this point.
Let's stop here, take a quick break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this. And Medicine on Call, and we've got Dr. George on. Dr. George, I've got to ask you, what's your feeling towards our administration and Homeland Security, Jay, whatever his name is, in my opinion, made a total jerk out of himself yesterday in the hearings. When he was asked if he knew who Kate Stanley was, Steinle, and he had no clue.
Are you kidding?
No, he had no clue who she was. And in turn, you know, they ask, or others have asked also, why is the administration, they can jump all over Ferguson, Baltimore, Charleston, but no one from the administration called up and said anything to the Stanley family or, you know, that they were anywhere responsible for an illegal, undocumented person that's come back into the United States five times, got a weapon, and then just arbitrarily shot this young lady. I find it all so disgusting, I can barely talk about it.
Well, because it doesn't fit the political agenda. This is an agenda that's bigger. Again, this is a global agenda, right? They want our country to become just like Europe, where they have an influx of everybody around them using their social services, you know, creating, you know, independent countries within these. I understand in France you can't even go into certain parts of it because it's basically like Sharia law, and the police won't go in, people don't go in. I don't understand how you can allow your country to be overtaken like that and use political correctness and basically shutting down any debate because of, quote, racism or not being politically correct. You know, my mindset is, if you want to emigrate to a country, you're doing it because you like the country, you want to adopt their norms, their mores, you want to integrate, not to go in and basically have your own little fiefdom within it, bring your own social structure, which is not usually is not the same as where you've moved to, and then demonize everybody for not liking it. That's what's happening here. It's the same. It's like a cookie cutter template that's going everywhere. Let's be clear. This has been going on in the Black community, definitely the Black community, for years. The people coming in to the last several years, the influx, has not entered Beverly Hills or Upper East Side. They've gone into the Black neighborhood, into the working class neighborhoods, and they've been victims of crime without anybody saying anything. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, there was an outbreak of Latin gang on Black crime. They were just shooting Black people. There's a lot of stuff going on. It never rose to anybody talking about it on the news. So this is not new. And there's a gentleman that introduced Donald Trump at one of his rallies, and his son, the Black guy, his son was talking to his dad on the cell phone. Some Mexican drug guy who got released from prison, who had to enter the gang. His job was to shoot the first Black person he saw. While he was talking to his dad, the guy rolled up and shot him twice, once in the face. Done. Nobody talked about that. So that's been going on for a long time. The problem is the government is sanctioning this with their sanctuary cities, with their unwillingness to deport people and keep them out. I don't understand why there's not a class action suit at this point. American citizens really taking it to the government for not protecting us. Their job is to protect Americans. They're not doing it, and they're not doing it willfully. I mean, the fact that Homeland Security chief can come on TV, not have any clue, and then he had the nerve to say he doesn't think that it's right for the government to superimpose themselves on the state, on the city's rights. That's what they do every day. I mean, that was the most laughable thing to me as well. I did hear that part. But this is not new. And economically, it's not new. And medically, I just read an article about polio, some type of polio virus, which is affecting, again, children in our country. It's not on the news anymore, but people are coming up with paralysis. They're not dying, but it's like a polio paralysis that's happening. And it's a virus or a version of it that only comes from Africa and Peru. So we're talking about, did you read the article? There's a ton of Africans coming into Minnesota. There's a lot, the borders are open, and it's not just Mexicans, it's everybody. Apparently Chinese are the number one illegal immigrant coming into the country. We're focusing on Mexico, but the borders are wide open for the entire world at this point, and they're bringing endemic diseases with them. And we have no clue how many people are bringing in communicable diseases, like the lady who was from India, who had the multiple resistant TB traveling from Texas to DC. I mean, it's a medical emergency. We haven't even, I don't believe that we don't know the tip of the iceberg yet.
No, I don't think so either. You know, you said something a minute ago that we had one of the hosts had a guest on yesterday that had she and her family, when she was 9, moved here from Ukraine. And she has a lovely accent, and her name's Irina, and she was talking about, she's very conservative, and said, you know, I can't understand people that immigrate or come here legally and then want to only speak their own language, they only want to do their own traditions, she said the first thing we wanted to do as a family was learn English, speak English only, and be a part of the United States. We didn't want to be in the United States and be a separate anything. We wanted to, our whole desire was to come to the United States and be a part of it. Her mother's a nurse, her father's an engineer, her sister is a dentist now, and she said we always heard of the melting pot. And this is the shame of what's going on. Instead of, you know, being a country that everybody is an American, we're looking at it as everybody is this, they're that, they're this group, they're that group, and all this kind of stuff. And,
that's true.
You know, it looks to me like we've got an administration and a Congress that they're more interested in dividing us than they are in bringing us all together.
Well, you divide and you conquer, right? If you keep people at each other's throats and you don't give them something, a common point to rally around, you get to control them. This is an agenda. Again, I keep using the word, but it's an agenda. It is a method. I mean, Alinsky on steroids, if you want to put it that way, where it is create chaos, bring order out of the chaos, use, you know, the politics of personality politics, identity politics, trying to make you part of a group make you groupthink, work against your own interests. And that's what they're doing. You know, as a, you know, we can use this on everybody. Women are being told that they're second-class citizens. They're trying to, I think they're taking a, I think it's Hamilton off of the paper money and they're going to put a woman on it. These are all window dressing. It doesn't matter. What I want is to be left alone, to pursue what I, my God-given talents, and to make a comfortable life for myself, my family, my friends, and die in my bed at a really old age, you know, of natural causes. That's what I want. That's what 99% of the people want. And about 1% want to control everything, want to control you from the time before you're born, to the, and they want to have the means and the levers to control when you die and everything in between. What kind of life do they expect? A planned economy, a planned life for some, it does not work. We're coming to a point where they're going to be able to tell you, and this is part of the law, this is an executive order. Under a state of emergency, the president will get to decide how many doctors you need, how many lawyers you need, if you have any kind of equipment, farm equipment, manufacturing equipment, it can be seized by the government. This is, you don't own anything anymore. I mean, this is amazing. They've taken away property rights. If you really think, thinking about habeas corpus is gone. And I can tell you about the property rights. Remember the banks who seized people's homes? They didn't even have a deed to them, and they kept seizing them. They've leveraged houses and mortgaged them multiple times. They didn't even have the right to do it. And they no one went to jail. Nothing happened. That was the end of your property rights, and they did that. You know, so this is just parental rights are gone. And I know you haven't heard this one because you're going to fall out. In Seattle, they now have a law that's passed that 15-year-olds who want to undergo gender reassignment surgery can have it done, paid for by Medicaid, without the consent of their parents. I mean, I was like, wait a minute.
No, about, by the way, it's Portland, not Seattle.
Oh, Portland, sorry. I think Seattle has they're charging you for driving your cars now. Sorry about that. I know somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, it's like gone. The whole, you know, west side of our country, from California up, it's like a whole other world over there. But can you believe that? What happened to the parents? How can a 15-year-old give consent? They can't even drink or vote, but they can say, I want a sex change?
The interesting thing is the way the way this was passed. And what's the medical term for that, where you feel like I'm a woman and not a man or whatever? I don't know. There's some.
Well, it's a gender identity issue.
Yeah, some medical term for it, though, and they passed it because nobody knows what this medical term is, you know. So they passed the bill under that name. Argonians had no clue that they had passed the bill. My best friend lives in Oregon, and he and I started talking about it, and he checked into it, and yeah, it's there. But they had. He said, "I don't even have I have no idea when this passed." And I can see the government saying, if people suffer under any age, if people suffer from this, whatever the disease is, or the feeling is, then they should have the right to, you know, do whatever. And 90-some-odd% of the Argonians had no clue that something like this had been passed. But there it was. And
that's bad enough, but what about parental rights?
Yeah.
How can a 15-year-old, first of all, you're still developing mentally, biologically, hormonally. How can you possibly make that decision and know that you're making it at that age and not have a change of heart when you're 16?
Well, they've said that many psychiatrists have come out and said after puberty, most of the kids that wanted to do it didn't want to do it after puberty. So it's sick.
But now, you know, this is a cultural thing. Now you've got Caitlyn Jenner, you've got it's again, it's like shoving stuff down people's throats. It's like the new normal. Yeah, I just live and let live. But the pop culture is literally ramming this into the consciousness of the country. And it goes against individuality, honestly. I mean, it's just every day you turn on, there's something else strange going on. Apparently the Sisters of the Poor, remember the nuns who wanted to opt out of the contraceptive portion of Obamacare, they lost their legal challenge, which doesn't make any sense, which means now it opens the door for the government to bigfoot any religious community who has a religious objection to anything that the government wants to do.
I've done it again.
That's pretty bad.
We're up against a hard break. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. And we started this conversation about how transnational corporations have now gotten a foothold and tentacles into daily American life. And this is not, we're not the only country. You know, this is, we're just the recent victims of this. I mean, I thought that the, I knew that there was corporate tentacles locally, in our local legislators, there is a lobbying group that's basically, I forget the name of it, there's an acronym for it, but they've been working with our local legislators and infiltrating them, you know, helping them get elected and all other stuff. The lobbying is the most poisonous part of our political system. I think it gives entities that you'll never know more power than you'll ever have as an individual, as long as you let them keep it. All right. I think if we all start really letting our representatives know, we know what's going on. We know you've been compromised. We're not going to vote for you. We have the option. We have the real power. We get to vote. You know, what they do when they get in there is just ignore us. And we've given them the license to do it. We've not called anybody. You know, we've got the power of the recall. We've got bully pulpit from a American, you know, American people standpoint. We just don't seem to want to use it or know that we can use it. But when you start leaning on them and you start telling them you're watching them, you start outing them for the choices that they make, they do listen. I mean, Boehner wouldn't be up in there. They didn't vote for him in Ohio. And I can't believe that he actually got in there again. It's amazing. And then what he did to pass this TPP was remove any opposition. They removed him from committee chairmanships. They did everything they could. It was completely dirty pool to pass this thing, just like Obamacare, just like all the controversial laws that's gone on against the wishes and the will of the American people. This GMO thing is one of the most toxic things that's coming down the pipe. It turns out that if this thing passes, it's going to block states, counties, municipalities from regulating GMO crop production. Now, we've already heard about GMO crops cross-contaminating other non-GMO farms near them. All we need to do is be taken on the wind, and it can actually contaminate and destroy the sanctity, I think it is really sanctity, of an organic crop or something that doesn't use genetically modified. And we're not talking about making something sweeter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about inserting genes within the actual seed that make glyphosate. You know, it's like the seed itself has the weed killer in it, which means it's in the food product. You cannot wash it off. You can't boil it off. you're eating this stuff. And it gets incorporated, you are what you eat. So when you eat this stuff, it gets incorporated into your cellular genetic structure forever to be changed. Why do you think the cancer rate is outrageous? You know, why is that? I mean, we've gone from 1 in 14 women with breast cancer to, I think it's 1 in 8 now. Maybe it's even lower. Prostate cancer is off the chain. Little kids are getting leukemias and childhood cancers are exploding. Forget about things like autism. That's projected to be 1 in 2. 50% by, what, 2020, 2030? It was 1 in, 80-something? Maybe even more than that when I was in residency. So something is going on with what we're eating, what we're being exposed to, what we're breathing, and the government is supposed to be, like they are with the immigration question, supposed to be protecting us. And yet what they're doing is they're doubling down and taking money and codifying the whims of and the wants and needs of a corporation. I don't know, Dave. Maybe this started with that Supreme Court ruling that a corporation is a person. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a political thing. Maybe now this is what's coming home to roost, that they get more rights. They're collectively more of a person than we are. That's what it seems like.
The Supreme Court, obviously, over the years, has proven to be no friend of anybody's and has only, in my opinion, gotten worse in the past, 6 years, particularly with the two appointments that Obama's made.
Well, you know what? I think Bush's appointments pretty much suck, too,
yeah.
To tell you the truth. I mean, it's become a political arm. A political lever. It's not above the law. It's not looking at the Constitution and administering its judgment based on the Constitution. And they're totally into the social and the pop social part of our country. That seems to be running everything. I mean, it's unless you stand for something, and everybody can rally around this one thing, then you lose the whole point of being a country. I'm not, you know, we talked about this a little bit about the whole history of our country. You know, somebody made a really good point, not that it's excusing, but we're not the only country to have slavery. It's still going on in the Middle East, in China, a lot of places, India, you name it. And yet we are trying to erase our, we've gone past it. That's a badge of honor for a country, in my opinion. We're no longer doing that. Why do we want to erase where we came from? Because if you do that, you're doomed to repeat it, are you not?
Exactly. And, you know, and now that's an interesting point. What have they done in our history books now? They have erased history or rewritten history, which is an oxymoron. But that's a very good point. You know, they erase what's happened in the past, and what's the old saying? The future repeats the past.
Yeah, if you don't remember, you're doomed to repeat it. I mean, and then you've got these just ridiculous, ignorant rhetoric, like, you know, you need to change Washington D.C. It shouldn't be called Washington D.C. anymore because he was racist. I mean, where does it stop? Instead of paying attention to the banking system, to the safety of our food, to what the Congress and what the government is doing to work against us, we're concentrating on things that tokens that don't really matter. You know, taking down the flag in South Carolina, you know, I really don't care whether it was up or not, I honestly, to tell you the truth. For their sake, it will help them from an economic standpoint, because I know a lot of people didn't go there or didn't have a lot of, you know, economically they suffered because people didn't want to have their conventions, et cetera, there. That's probably going to help them. But does it change the real thought processes in the city, in the states? Does it change anything? And I think we got a really good view of what they were about when they all came together. That's not the visual that people wanted. Even when they took the flag down, there was no rioting. There was no people shooting. There was no name calling. I think they really wanted to just present South Carolina as just this backward, you know, hating on anybody who's different than you kind of state, and they didn't play into that. But there's all sorts of memes that are afoot. I think men are being demonized. White people are being demonized. Black people are being demonized. I mean, everybody's got something that they're trying to make highlight the worst aspect of that ethnic group, that race, that sex, the sexual orientation. Everything is a negative when we're all Americans, you know? We all should be wanting the same thing. And our country to be strong, independent, and to thrive. We're so busy hurting each other and hating each other while everything's being taken away or dismantled that puts us in a position to be that. It's just sad, honestly.
It is. With that, let's stop here, take our final break on A Medicine on Call, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I always start off my shows with something very small, and it ends up being a bigger picture, I'm sorry. But it's just, these connections just seem to be really obvious when you start looking at motivations. I mean, I don't believe, I don't know about you, Dave, but I don't believe anymore that my government has my best interest as a citizen in mind. They want to take away my ability to practice religion as I see fit, to practice medicine as I see fit, to just be, you know, as I said, be left alone. It's not about that anymore. It's about them trying to manipulate, control everything. It's just collectivism 101. And ask the Chinese how the planned economy works for them. It doesn't. How the Greek economy works. Socialism doesn't work. You end up having a group of people who are living large on the fruits and labor of everybody who's working for them. And then as you get less and less, you're told that you should like it. I mean, look at the Greeks. They want them to work now until they're age 67. They want to take off a third of their pensions. They want that just to take it from them. You know, I would never agree to something like that. But as Greece goes, so goes the rest of us. Remember, I don't think anybody really remembers this, but we signed on to IMF when Obama became president. Remember, in the first couple of years, we took money from them, and we're in that same position as Greece is. Maybe we're a little larger, we have a little bit more resources, but ultimately, ask Africa how that works. As soon as you take money from these people, they will strip your resources and make you destitute. And you'll be begging, it's like a crack addict. You'll be begging for more money while they take everything that you own. I think they want to now, not nationalize, but basically transnationalize their infrastructure. I think they've sold some of their Greek islands. I mean, basically, their country's being sold out for scraps underneath them. And that's what they do.
This, again, we had a very interesting guest on yesterday. You just described Cuba, too, and this deal with Cuba is only cementing the Castro family and the Castro regime in Cuba. It's not helping the Cubans at all. The Cubans are slaves to the Castros, period. End of story. The guy explained everything yesterday, and it's sickening that, let's go stay in a hotel on the beach in Cuba and we'll tip the people that are working. They can't even take tips. All of the money, the cash, be it America dollars, euros, whatever, goes into a pot. And it's, do you remember the old Tennessee Ernie Ford song, 16 Tons? And
yeah.
One of the things is I sold my soul to the company store, 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, this is exactly what's happening in Cuba. A worker in Cuba gets Cuban script, which is not worth the paper it's written on. They have to, if they want a product, they take their script to a government-owned store to buy anything or, you know, trade their script in on what they want. The stores are obviously controlled by the government. They have minimal resources. And we're not, the money that comes into Cuba from the U.S. will not be going to the people. It will be going to the Castro regime.
Well,
every penny. It's you know, we have outdone ourselves on deals in the past year.
Well, every deal seems to empower the regime. Same thing in Iran. Now you're telling me about Cuba. You know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is all about us becoming a, basically a dumping ground. I think also within that, we're supposed to be able, we need to open our borders to workers from these countries. So again, we're having more pressure on our employment situation for American citizens, where you're going to have people coming in who will be happy to take less than the going rate, not join unions perhaps, and just be, you know, subsistence workers and laborers, but be happy to be in our country. I mean, that's not helping anybody. I mean, I know the labor unions were against this. A lot of people were against this thing. And the Republicans, somebody said that their whole purpose was to give the next president negotiating power. Well, suppose that's Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, what planet are you on that you're trying to set up a system for an eventual Republican presidential candidate or winner, which, you know, they're all the same anyway, so it really doesn't matter. It's just changing the suit in the White House at this point. The rhetoric and the direction of the country seems to be going in the same direction. Nothing changed, really, after Bush left in terms of the bigger picture. Maybe we're getting a little bit more progressive in terms of the social agenda, which is, you know, it's about creating a socialized country where most people are either government employees on the government payroll or dole, and people who are independent and entrepreneurs are, until you, you know, suck all the taxes you can out of them, they're not welcome. And that includes kids of the lemonade stand to somebody who's running their own corporation. It's the same thing. They don't want competition. They don't want anybody to be outside of the system. That's why, you know, paper money may go down to the way of the past and it might become all electronic. So you can watch every single dollar, where it goes, who's working with whom. That's how you do it.
Control, control, and more control. And then what? Then all you have is sheep going to slaughter.
Well, I mean, this is my thing, too. The end point is, if you're into making as much money as you can, don't you need a system that generates wealth in some way? You know, it can't stand forever. If you don't have anybody generating anything, they don't create new products, they don't work, and they just sit around collecting a government handout, how does wealth get generated? I mean, what's the end point of this?
You know, that's, it's so easy for someone, you and I understand this, and what we can't understand is why the left side of the fence can't understand it.
You know, it's the left side, there's two things. Two parts of the left that I'm picking up, the ones that are the, you know, the know-it-alls, you know, they mm-hmm. know what's best for everybody, and they're smarter than everybody else, and no one else is smart enough to run their own life, so they're going to do it for them. And then you have the people who are just caught up in the glitz of it. I can get something for free. I don't have to work. I get to sit on my butt and do nothing. First of all, what kind of life is that? What do you do all day if you're not working in something? I can't even imagine an existence like that. It's not. I mean, it's part of what makes us human, I think, is being industrious. It doesn't matter what your job is, but that you have something that you feel good about, that you do, that you contribute, that you build something. sitting around your computer all day or watching TV just doesn't do it for me. And ultimately, what it does is make you it's a victim. Because whatever someone decides your worth is or what you're supposed to have, they give it to you. And at this point, it looks all great, but down the road, it will become rationed. You don't have enough resources, or there won't be enough resources, let's put it that way, for everybody to live at the same standard of living. It's going to drop. And then what happens? You don't create your own wealth, and you don't have power.
Can't you imagine?
You don't have to be a corporation to do that.
Can't you imagine a number of liberals standing around wringing their hands with the question asking what happened?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
You know, very sad. And my concern is you're going to see some of it. Unfortunately, my kids will see some of it. And it's in there, and our grandkids are going to see even more of it, you know, that to the nth degree, which will be, you know, absolutely terrible. There's a turning point, but it's got to come quickly. And
I agree with you, but we can make a turning point happen faster by withdrawing our consent. Stop shopping, say it every week practically, stop shopping in the big box stores. Hey, if they do this genetically modified labeling law, then I would go out of my way to make sure I bought from countries that allowed the labeling. That means you have to go into specialty stores to do it, if you have the means, and so be it. Or better yet, grow it yourself if you can with heirloom seeds and just withdraw your consent. Stop doing it. They do understand money. They definitely do. You know, when the soda industry started losing money from their diet sodas and their high fructose sodas, they now introduced the old school sodas, you know, with cane sugar. They understand that, you know. Parents, don't take your children to pediatricians who mandate that you vaccinate your child. You know, if you have a question about it, they won't answer it. Find another pediatrician. Trust me, when their business drops, they'll start to become a lot more patient-centered and patient-friendly. As long as you keep giving the grist for the mill, the fuel for the engine, it'll keep running. You have to take away the underpinnings of it, and that's us. I'm doing it as a physician. People need to do it as consumers. Parents need to do it for schools. This is what we need to do. Stop going along and getting along. It won't work. We can see that now. I mean, all they keep doing is passing laws that's working further and further against us. You know, we do have the right of refusal. I say we use it.
We use it. With that, Dr. George, we're up against the end of the hour. As always, an enjoyable hour. Thank you for being Dr. George and showing us alternatives, as a matter of fact. And we'll be back next week with Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. Have a good weekend, Dr. George.
You too.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.